theme of this program is Cross the Border. And the idea, the whole idea of the name, Cross the Border, is that our Messiah, Yahshua, also known as Jesus by most Westerners, he began his ministry by preaching and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of our heavenly Father are fairly synonymous terms in this day and from the day that he started preaching this message. He was talking about something different than the mortal kingdom of God on earth, that is Israel, because he was saying something is at hand that they didn't know about. And before he ascended to be with the Father, that is after he rose from the dead and showed himself to thousands of people that day, and before he ascended to be with the Father, he said, "This gospel of the kingdom must be preached in the whole earth. Then will the end come." So he's talking about another end, not the end of the kingdom of God, but basically he was talking about the end of that, what was illustrated by the interpretation that Daniel gave of Nebuchadnezzar's image. And that is, and he also referred to the times of the nations, which is also interpreted in the King James Version as the times of the Gentiles. So that was the end that he was talking about, the gospel being preached. And that is why, you know, I, to this day, even though I'm going through the scripture and we're talking about, you know, the word of our Heavenly Father, going through book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse, the main emphasis is the gospel of the kingdom. And that's why I preach this message, and I bid everyone everywhere to cross the border into his kingdom. His kingdom is not like the kingdoms of this world, because his kingdom, it transcends all the borders, all the imaginary borders of the nations of men. He doesn't have a border crossing like, you know, the border into Mexico, or the border into one of the other states, or the border between the East and the West in Europe. There's no imaginary line. There's no crossing guards on the imaginary lines, because guess what? The whole earth is Yahuwah's, and everything in it, and the fullness thereof, and everyone that dwells therein, it all belongs to him. His kingdom transcends all borders. It is the only kingdom that will last forever. And that's why it is so important to cross into his kingdom. And I've talked to other people, and I've interviewed some teenagers, and asked them this question: where is the kingdom of God? And what they've been taught by the corporate church is that, well, that's heaven. That's where you get to go when you die. And that's what they believe. And, you know, Yahshua had something to say about that. And he was talking about the teaching of the corporate church of his day, called the synagogue. And he actually said, called them pastors, teachers, and hypocrites, because he said they lead you up to the kingdom, but they don't suffer you to enter. And of course, suffer in the old English means allow. They don't allow you to enter, he said, because they don't go in themselves. Interesting, isn't that? Isn't that the same thing that's going on today? Have things really changed? You had a corporate church there. I mean, even the scribes and the Pharisees, the ones he was calling hypocrites, they said when they were discussing him, and they were afraid because they said that we're going to lose our position that we have by the Romans if this guy is allowed to continue. They were afraid they were going to lose their position that they had by, as a benefit from the government. So they were an incorporated church. They were incorporated with the state of Rome then, just as the churches are incorporated with the state of the Roman type government that we have today. You know, nothing, absolutely nothing has changed. And the corporate churches, they preach this message, and their message is, you know, follow our rules and do what we say and tithe. Of course, the law is dead except for that one and a couple others, because we don't want you messing with our wife. But basically, you don't have to keep his law, because now you're free from the law, but you have to tithe and do what we say, so that when you die, you get to go to heaven. So their message is the same one. they lead you up to the kingdom, but they don't allow you to enter because they don't go in themselves. And they tell you that, you know, do what we say, and then you'll get to go to heaven when you die. They lead you up. They don't allow you to enter. And you know, so what is this about? You know, how can you go to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven before you die? Yeshua, it was absolutely talking about heaven. You know, that place you go after you die. You know, where there's going to be no lame and no halt, no sickness, and we'll all be young, and we'll have this new glorified body. Well, you know what? I'm not stealing that promise. I love those promises because I know that when this mortality puts on immortality, that is the promise of the resurrection. I know that, but that is not to get to the resurrection. You have to already be in his kingdom. You can't wait till you die to enter his kingdom, because if you aren't there, you aren't going to be there forever. Because Yahshua, he said, and he was drawing an extreme illustration, and it was a true illustration too. He says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it away from you. He said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it from you. Then he said, it would be better to enter the kingdom lame or blind or halt than that your whole body be cast into hell, your whole body and soul be cast into hell. So what he was saying is, yes, you can enter the kingdom now. You may enter, it may cost you everything. You may have to pluck out your eye, because the illustration he's drawing is that there is nothing more important than entering his kingdom. Absolutely nothing. And if something is keeping you from entering his kingdom, that you're supposed to cut it off, cast it away from you, run from it. He's not really telling you to pluck out your eye, but if that's what it takes, then do it. You know, if the TV is causing you to sin, take the darn thing and throw it out the window. It would be better to go through life to enter the kingdom without TV. That sounds funny. It would be better to enter into life or into his kingdom without TV than that your whole body and soul be cast into hell. And that's the illustration that he was drawing. And that's why we know that the kingdom, entering the kingdom of our Heavenly Father, the kingdom of heaven, is something that we do now in this lifetime. Because here's the thing about the kingdom, is it has a king, and a king has laws. And so what is the power of any kingdom? The power of any kingdom is to make laws. The power of the kingdoms that, you know, that are on this earth, the kingdoms of the nations that rule now on the earth, these temporary kingdoms, their power is in their law. And their law, they say do this, and then they have their policy or enforcers going about executing judgment and policing the people to make sure that they stay within the bounds of their law. So there's power in the law. Now the scripture says that in the end times, it says that there'll be those that have, and I just believe he's talking about the church, the corporate church, is that they have a form of godliness. That means they look godly. You know, maybe they dressed, you know, in robes, and they have these church buildings, and it all looks holy, and everything looks good. They sing the songs, and they chant the chants, and they go through the rituals, you know, so they have a form of godliness. That means they look godly. You look on them, and wow, you know, they look so godly. But it says, but they deny the power thereof. What is the power of God? What is the power of the kingdom of God? Well, it would be in his law. And how do they deny it? Oh, the law was nailed to the cross. Or they deny it by making their own laws. Yeah, take your pick, you know. Take your choice, but they deny the power of the kingdom of God and the lawgiver. And so basically what our Heavenly Father wants to do is see, he doesn't enforce his law because there's no force. He says that many will try to take the kingdom by force. And you see people out there trying to build their kingdom of God using force. You know, it's convert or die, you know, or the Inquisition, you know, recant or burn. You know, that's building the kingdom by force. Well, truly, in these days, there is no force in the kingdom of God. Our Heavenly Father allows us to choose willingly whether we will obey his law or whether we will desire to obey his law or not. And he's looking for a people that will, by faith, choose obedience to Him. A people that will say, you know, I've done wrong in my life. I grew up learning how to disobey your law, how to break your law. They even told me, I even went to church, and they told me your law was dead. And then I saw that great commandment. It says, love God with all your heart. And I inquired, and I prayed, and I said, teach me how to love you, Father. Oh, please, Heavenly Father, because I'm not sure that I love you. And you showed me your law. You said, these are the things that please me. And you opened up your word to me, and you said, if you love me, you do the things that I say. And Yahshua, Jesus, said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, will enter my kingdom, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And I realized that, wow, I was taught wrong. I've never loved you because I've never desired to do the things that please you. So I started to look for what pleases you, Heavenly Father, because I do love you and I want to live a life that's pleasing to you. So I looked into your law and I said, okay, I'm going to do this, not so I can earn heaven, not so that you'll owe me anything, because I've already sinned. I'm already deserving of death. There's nothing I can do to wipe out my past sin by being good in the future, but I'm going to do what pleases you because I love you. And why do I love you? Because you've proven your love to me first. I love you because you love me, and you've given me grace and eternal life. You've allowed me to enter into your throne room. You've made me your child, and you've become my Father. You've adopted me into your heavenly family, and I want to live a life that's pleasing to you. So I'm going to look into your law, and I'm going to try very hard. You know, sometimes I'm going to fail, but when I fail, you know, my prayer is, Heavenly Father, when I fail, don't let me stay down. Help me to get back up and run to you. If I sin, I want to run to you. You know, it's like the child that falls down, and it gets up and runs to the Father. And the Father reaches out his hand and pulls the child up. Now, our adversary, our enemy, would say, well, when you fall down, you have to hide because you're filthy and dirty. Our Heavenly Father is reaching out his hand. He's saying, let me help you up. Let me teach you how to walk. Let me teach you obedience. And that's what happens, is he teaches us obedience. When we enter into his kingdom and we have a true desire, a heart that says, I want to please you. Teach me how. Teach me obedience and help me put off the things that aren't pleasing to you. Cross the border into his kingdom. There's nothing more important. Now we're going through Daniel, and let's jump back into Daniel. Where did we leave off? Okay, he was in a deep sleep on his face toward the ground. He says that the angel Gabriel touched him and set him upright. He said, I'll make you know what shall be. And we went through all of that. We got down to the end here. And it says, finally, talked about the power that shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, was true. So we have here an and. This is a, so he says, wherefore shut up the vision, for it shall be for many days. So it's yet in the future. And then, verse 27 of chapter 8 of the book of Daniel, he says, and I, Daniel, fainted, and I was sick certain days. So he physically got sick because of the things that he saw. And it was terrifying to see the end of the nation that he loved, and then to so much that he didn't understand. And so he says, and afterwards I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. So even though Daniel is given this, you know, very brief interpretation by this angel Daniel, I'm sure he understood some of it. He understood the Medes and the Persians, and he knew where Greece was, and so he knew that Greece was coming and was going to conquer Media and Persia, and of course that we know that by history that did happen. But beyond that, it is so compacted there that it's just sweeping what happens after that in half a dozen verses there, just a sweeping view of history in Gabriel's interpretation of what's given. Of course, we know most of that because most of it is now history for us, and very little of it is in the future. And this part is in the future where he says, By peace he shall destroy many. Well, we know that was one of the attributes of the Roman Empire, because there was a peace in the Roman Empire, even though it was fierce and it was mighty and it conquered, but there was a peace that people enjoyed by the police powers of Rome. And that's the same peace pretty much that we enjoy today by the police powers of Rome. There's a peace where people can do business and you can interact, and we have certain amount of liberty, so some more than other parts because of the broken nature of the iron, how it's separated and it doesn't quite hold together. So we see some parts are iron where the iron, you know, tramples, and then it's separated by clay. So we know that there, you can work your way around and try to stay in the clay to use an illustration. And that's where we live today with clay and iron all around us. And my advice to you is to stay in the clay and avoid the iron as much as possible. It's not saying that you won't get trampled, because it happens to a lot of people. So many people have been killed in recent history, and the persecution goes on against Christians, especially in the East and in Northern Africa, where many are dying for their faith because there are those that are trying to force their vision of the kingdom of God. They're trying to make it or take it by force, to borrow a phrase from the King James English. And they're saying, you know, convert or die. And many are dying for their faith today. And we see the iron and the clay spreading over the whole earth, with specifically the iron, because that is what's notable. That's what is in the news. We see the iron trampling the land of Persia, Babylon, in known today as Iraq. We see it over in Afghanistan, and we got to wonder how the Little Horn power is orchestrating and controlling all of this. And many of you know these things, or you have an idea of what really is going on in the world, because that same power controls the media, or the major media, throughout the world. So it controls the minds of the people by what it allows them to see and how it tells them to interpret the things that are going on throughout the world. So there we end Daniel chapter 8. With Daniel sick many days and coming out going, but none understood it. And certainly Daniel is talking about himself, and perhaps he's discussed these things with his good friends there that are with him and helping him to rule the land of Babylon for Belshazzar, because that was his position. And Daniel is like, you know, he's the guy in the administration of the kingdoms, and it doesn't matter who comes and sets themselves up as the ruler or ultimate power in the kingdom. It seems that Daniel is and his friends are in a position where they continue to be used by whoever conquers the land of Babylon to govern that land. That was the kind of favor that Daniel was given throughout the successive kingdoms that came into Babylon there. Daniel Chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Of course, we're talking about Babylon here. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of Yahuwah, and there we actually have the name of the Creator, the word of Yahuwah came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Now, we just left off talking about the 2300 days. So now he's coming to understand, as I'm sure he's just searching and searching the scriptures. And he says, I understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So he knows now that he's coming to the end of that 70 years. And so was the 2300 days, as I propose, the number of days, which being something just under 7 years from the time of that prophecy to the time of the cleansing of the temple. So he said, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto Yahuwah, my God, and made my confession. And I said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. I love it. I love it. Mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. That's what I'm saying all along. Nothing has changed. Do you love him? Then you're going to want to keep his commandments. You may fail. And you know what? We have the illustration of the great patriarchs who failed throughout history. They committed egregious sins, but somehow their heart was after Yahuwah. They desired to keep his commandments. They weren't perfect. They failed miserably at times and suffered tremendously for their failings because they suffered the consequences of their sin in their flesh. But yet, you know, as Yahuwah said about David, he said that David was a man after his own heart. And you know what? I hope that I never commit the egregious sin, you know, of adultery and murder like David did, because I never want to suffer the consequences of that in my flesh as David did. Yet, even with all of that, I mean, you take Abraham, who was a murderer, you know, and you look at the other patriarchs. They failed miserably time after time. Yet, they were called righteous because they had a heart they wanted, they respected, they kept covenant. I mean, Yahuwah kept covenant with them because he says he keeps covenant and mercy. Oh, and I love that mercy. Don't want to let go of it. I take all the mercy I can get to them that love him, to them that keep his commandments. So, I mean, there's nothing more important, as we discussed, than entering into his kingdom and desiring to live a life that pleases him, because obedience is worship. Obedience is love. If you love me, you keep my commandments. You know, that's what I tell my children. I tell my little daughter. She says, I love you to me. She says it all the time. She says, I love you, Poppy, because she calls me Poppy. She said, I love you. And I said, then you'll do the things that I say, you know, and she'll keep my commandments. You'll do what I say. If you love me, you're going to do the things that I say. And I'm going to say it to her over and over and over again, because I don't want to lose her. I don't want to lose any of my children. So Daniel continues in this beautiful prayer here, and you see the heart of this man, as we've seen the heart of all the great patriarchs, how they loved their people. They loved the people. He says, I prayed to Yahuwah, my God, made confession, and I said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned, and we have committed iniquity, and we have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto the servants, the prophets, which spoke in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near, and to them that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. And we'll continue with Daniel's prayer here after these messages. Don't go anywhere.